This is Brother Timothy Groover coming to you once again from Ireland, one more time from Ireland, Lord willing. Next time it'll be from the land of Israel, coming to you again for another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, in the Word of the King declares, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, "The word of the king declares, where the word of a king is, and he may say unto him, What doest thou. And again, dear listener, when we talk about the word of the king in the English language, we talk about none other than the King James Authorized Version of 1611. On this edition of the Word of the King, again, let me just say thank you very much for your prayers. I officially got my ticket to fly out from Ireland to Israel this Thursday, and I appreciate your prayers, dear listener. You have access to the throne of grace in and by faith of Jesus Christ, our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Yes, I appreciate your prayers. And on this edition of the Word of the King, we are going to be getting into a little bit more about Jezebel and the devil of Jezebel in the context of government. And we're also, Lord willing, going to have our brother John McTernan joining us a little bit later. Of course, Kenny will inform me, as he's informed, about John's being on the line with us. And as always, I would encourage you to check out our website at www.holinessbibles4theblind.org. That's www.holiness, H-O-L-Y is in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. And of course, Kenny will inform you about how you can make contributions a little bit later there if you would like to contribute to the Word of the King, the ministry at Sowers of Seed, and also the ministry there at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And as well, if you would like to make contributions through Six Eyes Radio, Kenny will inform you of that later. In the meantime, if you would like to assist in any way financially with the work that the Lord is doing through this child of his here, the Word of the King, you may also contribute via check or money order, and you can write that out as the Spirit of God leads to Joel, J-O-E-L, Gruver, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R. Again, that's Joel, like the prophet Joel, J-O-E-L, Gruver, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R. And then just mail that to 2976 Honey Valley Road. That's 2976 Honey, like honeybee, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallas Town, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, it's one word, Dallas Town, Pennsylvania, 17313. So again, you just write that check or money order out to Joel Gruver, and you mail it 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallas Town, Pennsylvania, 17313, and he will see to it that that gets to me. Also, I would encourage you to go and check out Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. You just want to put in your search engine Dave Hodges, H-O-D, as in Daniel, G-E-S, dash, The Common Sense Show, The Common Sense, S-E-N-S-E, show.com. And I would also encourage you to check out Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N, as in Nathan, T-O-N, dash, American Vindicta. V as in Victor, I-N, D as in Daniel, I, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A, American Vindicta. Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. Just hit search. As you do that, it'll pull up a number of links that you can click on, including Doug's blog there at American Vindicta, as well as the audios that he has available for you to listen to at gsradio.net. And, of course, as always, I was listening to some of the recent postings that he and Dave both put up, and I must say they had some very interesting, eye-opening things that they were saying in interviews that they did with other individuals. In light of current events, which, of course, sure, his brother John McTernan joins us a little bit later, he and I will be talking more about that as well in light of Bible prophecy. I know a couple times this week now I've asked people, would you like to know where all this talk about a digital cashless society is going? And of all the people that I've asked, I can't say there was a single one that was not interested in knowing. And as surely as you believe and know your Bible, dear listener, you know very well where all this talk about a digital cashless society is going. And you can read all about it in the book of Daniel, and especially in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, 14, 17, 18. I would also encourage you to check out Dr. Scott Johnson, Brother Scott Johnson's website at www.contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. And again, I would remind you as well that for those of you that are in the United States of America, now, Scott does not ship any of his products internationally. But ultimately, if you're in the United States of America, Scott, he is willing. The last time I saw, he's still willing to send some very good health products that you may want to order. So just inquire from him about that if you want. But whether you inquire about that or not, he's always posting some new things there at his website, www.contendingfortruth. The website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And then, of course, Brother John's blog as well, www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And now, before we have our first clip that Kenny is going to play, let me just open us up in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I just want to thank you again for another opportunity for God here now on the Word of the King to bring forth, Lord, your words to discuss matters as they pertain to current events in light of Scripture, Lord God. And as we expose all the more again this devil Jezebel and that woman who sits on seven mountains and reigns over the kings of the earth, Lord God, we pray, dear God, that you would all the more, dear God, through this edition of the Word of the King, cause the unfruitful works of darkness to all the more be exposed for your honor, for your glory, even as light always exposes the darkness. And we praise you and we give you thanks again for that light of the world, that true light that lights every man that comes into the world. The taste of death for every man, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And again, do pray for saved souls listening, that they would be all the more provoked as a result of what they're going to hear on this edition of the Word of the King, to love and to good works, neither forsaking the assembling of themselves together with one another, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of you, our great God and Savior. And Lord, I also pray for those listening, dear Lord God, who have yet to hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd, who giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, that today would be the day that they would hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd, and receive and know the life more abundantly that is in and through him, as the way, the truth, and the life, and through him alone. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We pray these things and we give you thanks. Amen. Now, Brother Kenny, if you please go ahead and play our first clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a really important topic for you, and that if China is going to end up being the peacemaker unless we get some positive leadership in Washington, D.C., and they head China off at the pass and usurp their role of their coming role as peacemaker. You're not going to believe this if you're not following it closely. If you are following it, you're going to say, yeah, this is kind of a logical outcome from what's going on. So I know I'm appealing to two different levels of audience here, those that are mildly aware and those that are really keenly aware. But really, the result and the material is one and the same. And we're going to talk about all that right here on the Common Sense Show. You know who I am. You know what we do here. We're freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. But bringing up the point, you need to subscribe and grow our numbers so we can stand up with bigger numbers. And stand up to who? The communists that have usurped our country. And then number two, you need to share videos and articles that you come across that are useful. And you need to share it with people that need to hear it, and not worry about the consequences and the backlash. Now, I'm not saying risk your job, risk your life. I'm just saying in your contact circle, people that are just kind of on the fringe of knowledge of politics, send them out something, okay? And then send it again and send it again. Because when I first was getting my feet wet with this material, I was in absolute cognitive dissonance. I know there's a problem here, but isn't this kind of over extreme? Remember those feelings you had too, those of you here with me today? Yeah, and then eventually you realized, yeah, this is the new reality. And yeah, it is extreme. And it took me a while to realize that what's happening is really happening. I've watched transformation in people that serve in politics. They're elected. And they see how their colleagues take buy-offs from China. They're engaged in money laundering schemes to further their own political career, because they get their campaign supported at a high level. And people that sit back and they're not part of it and they watch it go, oh my gosh. And then they're afraid to speak out because the criminals are running most of the state houses today. The criminals definitely run Congress, and a criminal is in charge in the White House. So we have real issues here. So please share. Really, really important. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. And the Bible commands us to, you know, we're in this world, but don't be of the world. Come out from among them, is what's said in 2 Thessalonians. And what that means is also to your finances. Dodd-Frank 2010, the banks could take all your assets. They take your retirement if it's attached to the bank. They can take your bank accounts. There's nothing you can do. You're declared to be an unsecured creditor now, and it's been that way for the last 13 years. It's just no one talks about it. The mainstream media is not going to alert you that you really just want to keep operating capital in the bank because they're going to crash. And we've seen now two bank failures. First Republic is a disaster. We're going to talk later today about how Charles Schwab is in really big trouble. Oh, they have all the assets on the book. The problem is their assets don't come mature until after their liabilities do. What would happen to you in personal life? You'd go broke. So we're going to cover that in some detail. But ladies and gentlemen, you need to be outside the system. You need to do it now. You need to get your retirement out of the clutches of the bank, and Noble Gold can convert that for you and make it gold back. You control it, and it's backed up by the best resource on the planet. Gold was number one last year. It's number one this year. Silver is a close second. I mean, precious metals is where it's at. And speaking of precious metals, not only can you back up your gold, your retirements with gold and possibly silver, you can also diversify your bank account and just leave operating capital in the bank to pay your monthly bills. That's it. I'm being very serious. By the way, when you do a conversion, Noble Gold will send you a 5-ounce American Eagle silver coin. It's absolutely beautiful, just a way of saying thank you. And I have to give a disclaimer here. The FTC wants me to tell you that every investment is inherently risky. I'm hoping everybody knows that. And that past performance isn't indicative of future performance. I hope everyone realizes that too. I have been a customer of Noble Gold for 4.5 years, so I do put my money where my mouth is. I want to send you a free information packet that will really illustrate the importance of being out of the system and how you do it. And no one's going to bug you. And there's a number for Noble Gold on there. So when you look at that, it says, yeah, I need to do this. I got to protect my nest egg. I got to protect my bank accounts. And you'll call Noble Gold. And they're the best people to deal with, and they are not pushy at all. So how do you get your information packet sent to you electronically? Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. is not the world policeman. It's not the world peacemaker. The U.S. is the world warmonger right now, and our actions are having more to do with the potential starting of World War III than any nation on the earth. As crazy as the EU is, the Biden administration is hell-bent on forcing Russia to widen the war. It's good for business, the military-industrial complex that Biden is indebted to, their Democratic donors. They want this war because they want profits, plain and simple. Many of the banks want this war because they'll have increased profits resulting from military-industrial complex profits. I mean, this is a simple matter of economics, and this is exactly what Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell speech in 1960. Beware of the military-industrial complex. Its threat is unprecedented. I mean, never happened before. And it's unwarranted, unconstitutional, illegal, and not in the best interest of the American people. Sometimes even treasonous. Yep. And that's what he was talking about. And Kennedy took him on. And you know what happened there? how much proof do you need? Okay, so China is going to step up and fill the gap. Our administration has set America up for failure. Failure in war because we've shipped our weapons out of the country. We're not producing like we should. We haven't upgraded our nuclear arsenal. We don't know how many failures on launch we're going to have. The Russians and the Chinese are deploying killer satellite technologies in space to kill our over-the-horizon radar and our 1-million-man army. We'll not be able to stand up to the 200-million-man army of China. Yeah, because if we lose over-the-horizon radar, game over, folks. Turn out the lights and go into hiding because they're coming for you. So China is going to give themselves the superior position as the world policeman so they can continue to manipulate the world economy to their benefit and the detriment of the United States. We're the impediment. We have to be the country that's mostly taken down. Some people say completely taken down. Now, how does China do it? China swoops in at the last minute, and we've already seen evidence of this, and they're going to make peace. What's the evidence? Zelensky has already asked China for help. Zelensky's had direct contact with Xi Jinping. Oh, wait a minute. Are you confused? China is aligned with Russia. America, the enemy of both, is supplying Ukraine to fight Russia. And you're saying, what the hell? Why is Zelensky talking to Xi Jinping? Are you confused? Well, you need to understand, Xi Jinping just cares about world dominance. And if he has to step outside his Russian alliance to end this and become the world policeman, he will. This is almost Antichrist material, isn't it? Saving the world from a big catastrophe, setting off the tribulation, right? I don't know that this is it, but this is how serious this event is. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. China ready to usurp the role of world policeman from the United States. And that means we'll further be degraded economically. China and Russia are getting nations to move away from the petrodollar and the world reserve currency dollar, and they are going to gold-backed. That's why I sell noble gold. It's simple, because you're not going to defeat this strategy using gold as a petrodollar. Would you pay money to buy dollars so you can buy oil? How stupid is that when you can simply go gold-backed and not pay anything but what you can obtain through gold? That's what's at risk here. So, this is why I'm saying get outside the system while you can. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. But I will say this, be prepared to resist with every fiber of your being Chinese presence on this soil, because they have already said. In fact, Jeff Nyquist and I were on John Moore's show on Tuesday morning, and we both said the same thing. They're not taking prisoners. They're not interested in cohabitation. Their last three defense ministers prior to this one, who just took office, they have said, we're getting rid of every American. This is what's at stake here. So when you have Congress investigating the Bidens for their Chinese connections, do you see how much more serious this makes it? It's not like the Bidens are in business with Uruguay. Okay, that would be bad enough, and it's a conflict of interest and a violation of ethics, probably a violation of trading with foreign powers, foreign agents. But this is trading with the enemies. And we have a specific law that addresses this, Trading with the Enemies Act. And this is why Comer and McCarthy and the rest of the GOP is fervently pursuing the Bidens. The problem is I know they're going to end up on square one and expose everything. They're really close right now. But who's going to prosecute them? The House could drop articles of impeachment, passes by five votes, the difference between GOP and Democrat, and then it goes to the Senate to hold the trial. You've got 18 rhino Republicans over there, uniparty Republicans, and that would give the Democrats a 69 vote margin, 69 to 31. There will be no impeachment. There will be no criminal charges. All we'll have is awareness. I'm hoping that from this awareness, though, America will get pissed off enough that more people will flock to join the resistance effort, and basically we overwhelm them with sheer force and numbers. Having numbers that say we're not going to comply with you ends a regime. Even a totalitarian regime needs certain compliance, and you can't murder everybody and get down to one person. Yeah, I'll help you. That doesn't work. This is why I keep telling you, share, share, and share again. Your life depends on it. We have a really good documentary series called The Common Sense Show.tv, expert guests, in-depth formats, not making any money on this. We're paying bandwidth only. We want you to become a part of that, The Common Sense Show.tv, and we'll see you back here again next time.
It is written, Proverbs chapter 29, verses 1 through 10. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Again, there's much receiving of gifts. There's much money laundering going on in the higher-ups of government these days, and that includes down in Washington, D.C. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet, and the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doeth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. A wise man contendeth with the foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. And again, dear listener, what you were hearing about there concerning the Chinese invasion, okay, is something to be very concerned about and take very seriously. I'm not saying that you should fret to the point where you get your eyes off the Lord and you lose the peace of God, which passes all understanding. No, you keep your eyes on the Lord, and he'll keep you in peace even as your mind is stayed upon him. But still, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. God talks about his word, about how my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But even I came across once before, God knows how many years ago it was, I came across this UN document that talked about such a Chinese invasion taking place in the United States of America. I tried looking the document up again. I tried finding it again, and God knows I was not able to find it. But again, he's even talking about re-education camps and everything in this document. And the particular year that it had mentioned was 2025. It was either May or July of 2025, which, if you think about it, would be not long after what is, anyways, our next presidential election. So be wise. Be wise. Fear the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14 declares, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, 69, 70 AD, every one of them stones was thrown down, just like Jesus prophesied when Titus and those armies came upon the city of Jerusalem and sacked that temple. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when Jesus spoke those words there in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He was prophesying of every pope that ever lived and ever will live. I mean, he was prophesying of that very beast upon whom that woman there in Revelation 17, that Jezebel rides, that woman who reigns over the kings of the earth and sits on seven mountains. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, but you were just hearing about, dear listener, again, wars and rumors of wars. Jesus goes on. He says, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And Lord willing, Brother John Matera and I are going to get into that verse there, Matthew 24:7, a little bit more later. And exactly what the Lord was talking about when he said, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and how we, I believe, are going to still see that fulfillment unfold right before our very eyes in his story. Verse 8, Jesus says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All the bloodthirsty, they hate the upright. And as surely as you have been made upright in and through Jesus Christ, this world is going to hate you, dear listener. This world is going to hate me. As surely as I've been made upright in Jesus Christ, this world is going to hate me. They're going to hate you. And you better get used to it. And you better be determined, by God's grace, to take up your cross for Jesus Christ and suffer for him, even as he was willing to suffer for you. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And 11 through 14, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Joseph Smith, think of him, think of Muhammad, think of Charles Taze Russell, just to name a couple. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But real quickly, I want to say here, verse 12 again, Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Dear Christian, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, like the Word of God says, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't think that that prophecy right there can in no way apply to you just because you're saved, okay? Because surely as you still have your flesh, oh, it's still easy. Surely as I still have my flesh, it is oh so easy in this world where iniquity abounds for our love, if we do not guard our hearts, for our love to wax cold. Don't let it happen, dear listener. Don't let it happen to you. But may the very love of God and the very love of Christ abound in you, every one of you, as you know him, and myself, as I know him. And may our love for him and love for one another abound, even as Jesus said, but this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another. How's my love for the Lord and others doing? How's your love for the Lord and for others, dear listener, doing? Okay, if you would go ahead now, please play the next clip.
There are only four differences between the preborn, which some say is not human, and the newborn, which they say is human. Let's examine those four differences and see if it still makes sense to say that it's okay to kill preborn babies, but it's not okay to kill newborn ones. The first difference between a preborn and a newborn is their size. Of course, the preborn is typically smaller than a newborn. Some even object by saying, how can you call something the size of a dot a human being? That's a good question. How can something so small be human? Well, why can't something so small be a human being? Are large people more human than small people? Men are generally larger than women. Does that mean that men deserve more rights than women? Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson are two different sizes. Is Kevin less valuable just because he's smaller and Dwayne Johnson more valuable just because he's bigger? If size has nothing to do with the value of a human being, then how can we say the life inside of its mother is of less value simply because it's smaller? The second difference between a preborn and a newborn is their level of development. I've heard people ask, how can something that's not fully developed yet be a person? Or how can something whose brain is still developing and who's not even self-aware be a human being? Well, imagine if your development or abilities determined your value as a person. A person's brain is still developing well into their 20s. A 6-year-old's reproductive organs aren't fully developed like those of a 16-year-old. Is that 6-year-old less of a person than the teenager just because she can't get pregnant yet? So what makes a baby in her mother's womb any different? The little child is as much developed as you'd expect it to be at that stage. If our level of development has nothing to do with our value as a human being, then how can we say the life inside of its mother is of less value simply because it's less developed? The third difference between a preborn and a newborn is their environment or location. Is the unborn really a person if it's not in the world yet? Well, they are in the world, just in a different location. Just think about us. Our environment is always changing, but we know our personhood always remains the same. So let me ask, if the value of personhood is determined by one's environment, does that mean our value changes when we move from place to place? Is an astronaut less human than us simply because they're no longer on this planet? If our environment or location has nothing to do with our value as human beings, then how can we say that life inside of a womb is less valuable than ours simply because it's in a different location? The last difference between a preborn and a newborn is the degree of dependency. People often ask, if the unborn is totally dependent on its mother, then how can it be a person? I'm curious, why can't something so dependent be a person? There are many people who depend on others for their survival. For example, there are those with pacemakers or who are on life support in hospitals. Others are on dialysis machines or take medicine like insulin in order to survive. Without these life-saving elements, people will die. Those inside a plane are dependent on pilots. Passengers are counting on them to get them to their destination. Similarly, babies in the womb are counting on their mother to get them safely into the world. After all, the safest place in the world should be a mother's womb. A 20-month-old toddler can do many things, like play around and run around, but good hygiene, putting on clothes, and eating healthy are not some of them. So just because a baby still relies on her mother for all of these things, she's not any less human. So what makes a baby in a mother's womb any different? If personhood isn't determined by our degree of dependency, then how can we say that a little boy or girl's life inside of their mother's womb is less valuable than ours simply because they rely on their mother for survival? It seems pretty clear that when we look at each of the elements in the acronym SLED, size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency, none of them define our personhood or our value as human beings.
So I'm on the campus here at Cal State Fullerton in Southern California. I'm going to see if students are willing to be so progressive that they're willing to sign a petition to legalize late-term abortion. How late, you ask? Well, it's so late, the child has already been born. Post-birth abortion. Let's find out. See if anybody's crazy enough to sign this thing. Hey, Chief, you want to sign a petition to legalize late-term abortion?
Sure.
It's late. It's post-birth. Yeah, well, it's after the child's actually been born. It's within the first 30 days is the idea, is the concept. So the child is fully healthy, fully good, but sometimes it just does a number on the parents, you know what I'm saying? And we want to make sure that they're able to do what they want to do. Would you be interested in signing a petition to legalize late-term abortion in California?
I would, but I'm a permanent resident. I'm not a U.S. citizen.
Okay. Well, thank you. She would, but she's not a U.S. citizen. Are you pro-choice?
Yeah.
You'd be interested in signing that. It's so late. It's actually post-birth abortion. Sometimes parents have a hard time trying to distinguish. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Yeah, so the child is, you know, it's fully healthy and viable and stuff, but sometimes it's just too hard on the parents, and the parents need to make that. Late term, like so late term, the child's already been born within the first 30 days. That's what's been arguing before Congress. Is that wrong?
I mean, I'm pro-choice, but if it's a baby already.
When does it become a baby?
I don't get the heartbeat at 8 weeks, I believe.
21 days, heart begins to beat. Brain's forming at 35 days.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't know.
Is it wrong for all women in all places?
No, of course
not. No, they can make up their own mind.
Definitely cases where I think abortion is okay.
Hey, want to sign a petition to legalize late-term abortion? Don't be late. Pick it up.
Post-birth.
Yeah, the child's born. The child is fully healthy.
I think I need to do a little bit more research.
Yeah. Are you guys pro-life, pro-choice? What do you stand?
We're pro-choice.
Okay, all right. Yes, late-term abortion in California.
To legalize?
Late-term abortion. It's not legal in California. It's actually so late, it's gonna, it might even shock you, it's post-birth. It's what's being argued in Ivy League schools, up to 30 days after the child is born. Sometimes it's so traumatizing for the parents still.
Ooh, that's a hard
progressive
topic. It's progressive, and I totally believe in woman's choice. And
yeah, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one because it is post-birth, and 30 days is a long time. At the end of the day, abortion is, you know, it's up to a woman. What do you
think? You believe it's a baby in the womb?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes it's just too hard for somebody to decide, and
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think they should have that option.
Yeah.
Okay, sure enough, but for the option.
Yeah, so the child is fully, it could be fully healthy, it could have Down syndrome, it could be viable, whatever it may be, right? But
that's really hard. This is
craziness, right?
Yeah.
We are a nation that is quickly losing its moral compass. Common sense is being thrown out the window. We're a nation that believes no child should be left behind, but we've aborted over 61 million of them. We're a nation that weeps for the illegal children that are being separated from their parents at the border, yet we fight for a woman to kill her offspring. As long as we teach children that it's okay to kill children in the womb, we'll never convince them that it's wrong to kill children in a classroom. We live in a day and age where animals have more rights than humans. It's a crime to kill an eagle's egg, a felony to destroy a turtle's egg, yet if a woman decides to kill her own child, we call her brave, but we say it's health care and a human right.
Okay, in the love of many, waxing cold, look no further. Then, people committing murder and seeking to justify such murder in the name of abortion. And you will see a prime example of iniquity abounding in the love of many, waxing cold. Again, it's written in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seventh are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Right there's your abortionist, your murderer, in the name of abortion, and hands that shed innocent blood. Have you been a partaker in such shedding of innocent blood, dear listener? Oh, there's forgiveness for you, but only at the cross of Jesus Christ is there such forgiveness and such healing for you. And heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Again, Revelation 21, verse 8 declares, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the word of God declares, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. And you jump down, verse 34, 36, Proverbs 8. Wisdom is still speaking. Wisdom is still crying to the sons of man. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love, 3 verse 15, the word of God declares, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. These people encouraging these women to have their abortions, to commit murder in the name of abortion, be partakers in such bloodshed. Okay, these people, they hate God, and even if they hate God, they love death. Death, doing evil against triune holiness. You heard there in the one part of that clip there about how there's felonies, all because you do something to the egg of some animal, okay? Some animal that was not even created in the image of God, though created by God, was not even created in his image. But yet, you can, according to these sinners, you can murder that one who was made in the image of God. And totally all right, nothing wrong with it, they say. Oh, but if you didn't already catch, dear listener, let me tell you what the key is. That soul, that child in the mother's womb was made in the image of God. And again, even as they hate God, they hate those who, even as they serve their father, the devil, and he hates the living God and all who have been made in his image. And therefore, as sinners, having sinned against wisdom, having sinned against the Most High God, they wrong their own soul, and they, in hating him, love death. It's written, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Are you right now, dear listener, dead in trespasses and sins, a lover of death more than a lover of God? The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God is not mocked whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where and in whom is your faith, dear listener? And you who say you are saved by the grace of God, are you living for the one that you call your Savior and Lord as you ought to be living? Okay, Kenny, go ahead. Next clip.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. People say, Dave, how can I help? Subscribe, grow our numbers. We're over 200,000 strong, and we want to grow exponentially to be a political force to stand up to the communist man. Also, too, please share these videos far and wide and give them to people who need to see them.
not people who agree with you and me, not people who know what we know, but people who need to hear this so they can become active because they realize, crap, my kids have no future. This is a hellhole in the making. So please share. Those are the two things you can do. Don't forget, when you come to YouTube on your mobile device, you must click the Show More button, or you won't see everything you need to see. And in addition, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And let me tell you, Noble Gold's a problem for the establishment. They want everybody in the system. They want you under their coming digital currency. They want you to have no options. They want to control your food. They want to control all your financial decisions. They want to control you. And one of the ways that they're going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, is to force you into CBDC. You can avoid all that. You can save your retirement because the banks will take it when things get tough because the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can. They can do the same thing with your bank accounts. Noble Gold can convert your retirement to a safe gold conversion fund that you'll control, backed by gold. Couldn't be better. Isn't that awesome? And by the way, they'll send you this 5-ounce silver coin as a way of saying thank you. It's American Eagle. And they can save your bank accounts too. I want to send you a no-obligation information packet that will describe more in detail what Noble Gold does. Realize that I'm a customer, and I have been for almost 5 years. I've been advertising for 6. So with that umbrella, I have to tell you the FTC wants me to tell you that past performance is not indicative of future performance. In addition, all investments should be considered to be risky. We all agree with that. But I trust Noble Gold implicitly. And I'll send you this information. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. No one's going to bug you. You look at the material. You call them with questions. You call them to get things started. Because if you get entrapped in the system, you'll soon learn the meaning of 1929. Thank you. Okay. Well, could this be any worse? Could this be any worse? Poor Kash Patel, who's been a government official, been a federal prosecutor. The guy is a good guy. I mean, he's so honest and straightforward and articulate, intelligent. He really, really is a good man. And he's written a tell-all book about the establishment, some about the Biden administration, some about the DOJ and their corruption, which is a mile long. And now he's finding out that the deep state is trying to block the publication of his book. They're in an absolute panic. Have you noticed the deep state's trying to crush everybody that disagrees with them? This is more than they can handle. And Kash Patel will actually get more attention from what they're doing. So part of me is glad that they're doing it. The other part of me is sorry that Kash Patel has to go through this. But I would recommend when his book comes out, look for it. Grab it. I'm sure it won't be on Amazon. He's probably going to have to self-release. But Kash Patel's book's worth reading because he has an up-close personal view and experience with the deep state, like very few people, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. Grab his book when it comes out. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
Now, in case you're listening, your listener, and you wonder where all this talk of CBDC, a digital cashless society, is going, again, it's found right in the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I read from God's Word in the English language, the King James Authorized Version of 1611, Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That dragon, of course, in reference to Satan. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? If you jump down, Revelation 13, 2, verse 15, down through the end of the chapter, verse 18. It is written to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. There's that number, 666. I was just telling this lady earlier today when I had asked her this very same question about whether or not she ever wondered where all this talk of the digital cashless society was going. Hey, Lord, just have you say to her at one point, yeah, that microchip in your credit card, bank card, how be it? Just think about it. All they got to do is get that somehow in here or in here, as I pointed to my own. Number 666 on, and there you have it. Oh, the beast, he will demand to be worshipped as God. And we're going to come back to this a little bit later, of course. If you jump over to chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 8 through 11. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drank of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And again, here is the Jezebel of Revelation 17:18. That woman that sits on seven mountains and reigns over the kings of the earth, who's committed fornication with the kings of the earth. Again, I read Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drank of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Down through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And, Kenny, if you please, next clip.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Sometimes you wonder just how filthy and dishonest our news media are. You'll be in the shower and you'll think they're bad, but how bad are they? Well, here's one measure of their badness. You can try this at home. Ask yourself, is any news organization you know of so corrupt that it's willing to hurt you on behalf of its biggest advertisers? Anyone who do that is obviously Pablo Escobar-level corrupt and should not be trusted. What would that look like, that level of corruption? Well, imagine that the Trump administration had made it mandatory for American citizens to buy MyPillow. That's one of Fox News' biggest advertisers. Imagine the administration declared that if you didn't rush out and buy at least one MyPillow, and then at least another booster pillow, you would not be allowed to eat out. You couldn't re-enter your own country. You couldn't have a paying job. MyPillow, they told you with a straight face, was the very linchpin of our country's public health system. Now imagine if they told you that Fox, as a news organization, endorsed it, amplified the government's message. Imagine if Fox News attacked anyone who refused to buy MyPillow as an ally of Russia, as an enemy of science. And then imagine that Fox kept up those libelous attacks even as evidence mounted that MyPillow caused heart attacks, fertility problems, and death. If Fox News did that, what would you think of Fox News? Would you trust us? Of course you wouldn't. You would know that we were liars. Thank heaven Fox News never did anything like that. But the other channels did. The other channels took hundreds of millions of dollars from big pharma companies, and then they shilled for their sketchy products on the air. And as they did that, they maligned anyone who was skeptical of those products. At the very least, this was a moral crime. It was disgusting, but it was universal. It happened across the American news media. They all did it. So at this point, the question isn't who in public life is corrupt, too many to count. The question is, who is telling the truth? There are not many of those. One of them is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert Kennedy knew early that the COVID vaccines were both ineffective and potentially dangerous, and he said so in public to the extent he was allowed. Science has since proven Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right, unequivocally right. But Kennedy was not rewarded for this. He was vilified. He was censored because he dared to criticize their advertisers. The news media called Bobby Kennedy a Nazi, and then they attacked his family. But he kept doing it. He was not intimidated, and we were glad he wasn't. This is one of those moments when it's nice to have a truth teller around. It's helpful because suddenly the stakes are very high. Considering what's happening in Ukraine, topic most of us don't know much about because the details are not reported. It was a year ago that every media outlet in the United States, from USA Today to the New York Times, told you it was a dangerous conspiracy theory to believe the U.S. government had ever funded secret biolabs in Ukraine. The idea was ridiculous. In fact, it was Russian disinformation. And then one day, in sworn testimony, Toria Nuland of the State Department accidentally admitted that it was true. Yes, she said, there are many secret biolabs in Ukraine. And, quote, we are now, in fact, quite concerned that Russian troops, Russian forces, may be seeking to gain control of them. Wait a second, you may be wondering. Why does the U.S. government maintain secret biolabs in a primitive country like Ukraine? Why not Austria? Why Ukraine? And why didn't we dismantle and remove these secret biolabs when the war with Russia started? Nobody ever explained that. This show was attacked for asking the question. Now we have learned that actually it is far worse than just biolabs. Not only has the Biden administration been maintaining these labs in Ukraine in the middle of a war, it also has, quote, sensitive nuclear technology in Ukraine as well. And no, we're not making that up. They admitted it today. Watch.
While Ukrainian staff are still operating the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, it does fall under the control of Russian armed forces and is currently being managed by Russia's state-owned nuclear energy firm, Rosatom. So this is a significant concern. And essentially in this letter that has been reviewed by CNN, sent by the U.S. Department of Energy to Rosatom, the U.S. government has essentially warned Moscow not to touch the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant because of the sensitive American nuclear technology at the plant.
So many questions here, but we'll begin with the biggest one. What exactly is, quote, sensitive American nuclear technology? Sensitive American nuclear technology? Probably not to produce energy. No one in the media is going to ask that question. But if it's in the middle of Ukraine, in the middle of a war, it stands to reason this sensitive American nuclear technology has military applications. In other words, these are nuclear weapons. What else could they be? We'll stop speculating there. But take three steps back. This is all so crazy and so reckless, it is hard to believe it's happening. Here you have a Democratic president gone completely off the rails, completely, with existentially dangerous consequences, prosecuting a war that can only hurt the United States, a war with no upside. It is awful to watch, but it is not without precedent. Something similar happened 55 years ago in 1968. Another remarkably turbulent and ugly year in American history that has many parallels to this. That spring, in March of 1968, Robert F. Kennedy Sr., the former attorney general, the brother to the slain president, announced his candidacy against the incumbent, fellow Democrat Lyndon Johnson. And the overriding issue then, as now, was a pointless war then in progress. This is from Robert Kennedy Sr.'s announcement.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. I run to seek new policies, policies to end the bloodshed in Vietnam and in our cities, policies to close the gaps that now exist between black and white, between rich and poor, between young and old, in this country and around the rest of the world. I run for the presidency because I want the Democratic Party and the United States of America to stand for hope instead of despair, for reconciliation of men instead of the growing risk of world war.
To be clear, Robert F. Kennedy was not against all war on principle. He was against that war because he believed, with a lot of evidence, that it was not helping the United States in any way. But you weren't allowed to say that. He did. party bosses hated him for that, but rank-and-file Democrats loved him. They put pictures of his face in their homes like icons. In the end, they named a football stadium after him in Washington. That was more than half a century ago. He was, of course, murdered in June of that year. But now Kennedy's son is embarking on a similar challenge to his own party and for similar reasons. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced today that he is running for president in the primary against Joe Biden. Here's part of what he said.
We were told initially that the objective was humanitarian. Many of the steps that we've taken in the Ukraine have seemed to indicate that our interest is in prolonging the war rather than shortening it. So if those are our objectives, to have regime change and exhaust the Russians, that is completely antithetical to a humanitarian mission.
That's supposed to be the face of extremism, but that's not extreme. It's rational and calm and well-deliberated. Bobby Kennedy himself is not extreme. He is deeply insightful. And above all, he is honest, no matter what you think of the substance of what he says. Here, for example, is his recent analysis of the Biden administration's foreign policy. Big picture, quote, "The collapse of U.S. influence over Saudi Arabia and the kingdom's new alliances with China and Iran are painful emblems of the abject failure of the neocon strategy of maintaining U.S. global hegemony with aggressive projections of military power. China has displaced the American empire by deftly projecting instead economic power. Over the past decade, our country has spent trillions bombing roads, ports, bridges, and airports. China has spent the equivalent building the same across the developing world. The Ukraine war is the final collapse of the neocon short-lived American century," end quote. Now, you may agree with that analysis, maybe you don't. Either way, if you're an honest person, you understand this is exactly the moment in our history when we need serious adult conversations about the world around us, a world that is changing to our detriment, and how we ought to respond to those changes. Bobby Kennedy would love to have those conversations. He's not running to get rich. He's running to make things better, but he's not allowed to have those conversations. He's been censored. Other media won't even talk to him. He criticized their advertisers. Here was the reaction on television today.
The anti-vaccine activist, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has filed paperwork to run for president as a Democrat in 2024.
You see it on Fox News. You see it from Joe Rogan. You hear it from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. There are a lot of dangerous people out there who are not accepting the fact that these vaccines protect people from dying from COVID.
I've written for years about Robert Kennedy and other liberals who are absurd in their anti-vaccine, anti-science activities.
People like the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s, the people with big platforms that are using them to be anti-mask and anti-vax.
He's extreme. He's dangerous, said one. Notice not there, not anywhere, is a point-by-point rebuttal of his actual points. They never engage him on the facts. They can't. They would lose. Instead, they impugn his character. Now, that man they call dangerous is Joe Biden's leading primary opponent, and their view remains the same. Shut up. You're not allowed to talk. We disagree with that. We're not Democrats, but Bobby Kennedy is one of the most remarkable people we have ever met, and we are honored to have him on our show tonight. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
If you would turn to Romans chapter 3, dear listener, Romans chapter 3 a while. And while you're turning to Romans chapter 3, I would just say that based on Tucker Carlson's own confession, he evidently was raised up in a dead Episcopalian church that, safe to say, had already compromised with that Jezebel, that woman of Revelation 17, 18, and her beast, as she sits upon seven mountains and reigns over the kings of the earth. But yeah, he was raised up evidently in a dead Episcopalian church. And, of course, just got fired not long ago by Fox because he was putting out such reports, like the one you just heard, doing his job, basically telling the American people they need to know the kind of stuff they should have been told. So if you just pray for him, Tucker Carlson, pray for his family, pray for God's such a protection around about him. And ultimately, if he's not yet born of the Spirit of God, that he would be born of the Spirit of God, he and his family, through all of this. And there's rumors out there that he, before the 2024 election, may actually come back on the air with another operation, another newscast, so to speak. Pray that he's able to do that. And if Fox tried to tie him down with some, you know, non-competitive, non-compete clause, whatever, says he's basically on the air anywhere until that contract is over, because according to reports, that contract that he was in with Fox is set to expire and basically be over just after, I believe, the presidential inauguration of 2025. Okay, so you're talking January of 2025, basically, is when his contract with Fox News was supposed to be over. And, of course, according to reports from Hodges and others, a lot of the Democrats were starting to watch and listen to Tucker before Fox fired him. And safe to say, surely as they were listening to Tucker, a number of Democrats were starting to shift away from Biden in the Democratic, socialist, communist way. Rhinos, like Dave points out so often, in that uniparty sect there. But now, here in Romans chapter 3, as the Spirit of God leads, I think I'm just going to read down through this whole chapter. What advantage, then, hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true to every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And it's always important to remember that, dear listeners, especially when you're dealing with mainstream media these days. Because ultimately, the Tucker Carlsons, it's pretty much they're few and far between these days with mainstream media. And whenever you get the Tucker Carlson in mainstream media these days, again, the liars of mainstream media are not very grateful. They're not very thankful. Verse 5 of Romans 3, continuing on. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what should we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. If we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, and that includes you, dear listener, you are under sin. And as long as you remain apart from Jesus Christ, under sin, under death, and under the wages and the penalty of such sin, you will remain, and the wrath of God will continue to abide on you. For 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jesus himself said, there's one, and one alone, who is good, and that is God. That is God. And when he rebuked that sinner in the fashion that he did there, as you read of it in the Gospels, and said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. The reason he said that is because that sinner did not believe Jesus was who he was and is, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was and is, God manifest in the flesh, dear listener. Because if you don't believe that, I can assure you, you're one heartbeat from a devil's hell. Verse 13, Romans chapter 3, continuing on down. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Sepulcher, another word, grave, tomb. But their tongues, they have used deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I'm reminded of that one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To use the name of Jesus Christ loosely is a curse word, joking around with your friends to say God and damn simultaneously in a moment of anger. Those are ways you take the name of the living God in vain, and you blaspheme. And you yourself are found a blasphemer, a transgressor of God's law, worthy of death, hell, and a lake of fire, for all of eternity to shed blood. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Romans 5:1 declares, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, think peace, Prince eternal, and Christ eternal. Without the Prince eternal and Christ eternal, who is Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, there is no peace inwardly for you or anyone else. It's only through him that that peace is found and obtained. And I thank God I've known that peace within me since March of 1995. and he will never leave me nor forsake me. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things serve the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Again, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Romans 5:12 declares, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:20 and 21 declare, moreover the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Again, grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, God's riches at Christ's expense, and again, those riches, above all, heavenly, spiritual riches. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Back to Romans 3 here, verse 20, again, down through verse 31, the end of the chapter. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all that sin comes short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, substitute payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. And again, faith, fabulous adventures in trusting him who is the Holy One of Israel and his Holy One, Messiah, Jesus Yeshua. Okay, Kenny, if you would please play the next. Actually, Kenny, before you play the next clip, why don't we go ahead and do the Midway songs at this point? Thank you. Do those next, if you can.
And John is here, too.
Okay, Tim, give me one moment to cue those up.
Okay. Just let me know when you're ready. Okay, while we're waiting on Kenny, I'll just elaborate here. Soon as we have Brother John McTernan with us, oh boy, we're going to discuss here something that I got here on the war on food and farmers, the war on food and farmers. And Revelation chapter 6 talks about the four horsemen. And one of those four horsemen we read about, and as sure as we read about that, one of the four horsemen, we read about famine. We read about famine.
All right, Tim, we are ready.
Chapter 6. All right, go ahead.
If it weren't for bad luck, used to be the story of my life. When Jesus came and found me, his loving arms around me, found my life was nothing but a story full of lies. If it weren't for bad luck, who used to hear me say, but now thank God he's given all by thanking every day. If it weren't for bad luck, such foolish would be me. If you
And next Midway song too, Kenny.
Okay, you got it.
Your church house was always full, and the shouts you used to ring. But time has changed these things. Saints of old would gather round, and oh, how they would sing. But time has changed all these things. I'm so glad we had time spent with
away and blame it on time.
Indeed, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And don't you, dear listener, don't you ever find fault with the living God who is in charge of all time. But as I was mentioning earlier, I have here something that I just got today. In fact, the lady that I told you I spoke with, I asked her if she ever thought about where all this talk about a digital cashless society was going. She was kind enough to give this to me because I took notice to it just as I was walking by. But it says here on this document, the war on food and farmers. And then right below it, it says all info, I mean information here, is verifiable. Check freedomtruthpeaceireland.com. Again, it says check freedomtruthpeaceireland.com. It says all information here is verifiable. But before I read this, Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, in the word of the king, the authorized version, King James Bible 16:11 declares, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger. There it is. And with hunger. And with death and with the beast of the earth. Again, Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. So, again, I read here from the war on food and farmers. All info here is verifiable. Check freedomtruthpeaceireland.com. Multinational corporations, while pretending to care about the planet, are pushing out small independent farmers and taking over land and food production to profit themselves. And let me just interject real quickly, dear listener, and let you know that as I read this, wherever you hear mention of Ireland and Irish government, Irish farmers, put your own country, put your own farmers, and your own government, basically, in that place, because what they're doing in Ireland, they're doing it in the United States of America, and they're doing it all over the world. Governments, including ours, are complicit by allowing corporations to make the biggest profit from farm products, allowing farmers to be pushed into debt, and not giving them time and help to switch to more ecological farming and pushing them towards non-food agriculture. Most new grants are for this. Farmers, the people who feed us, are overworked, frustrated, and in despair. Perhaps you are one of those farmers listening. Please, take heed. Be not discouraged. Fear the Lord. Look to him and trust in him alone. There's even two pictures here. It says, how could this be better for our health and our planet? And then it shows these people going around spraying their pesticides, their chemicals on these crops and everything. Yeah, it says, how could this be better for our health and planet? Has that picture. Then this, and then below that, it shows these cows on natural green farm land. And again, how can these people going around spraying their pesticides and their chemicals on these farms, these fields, this agriculture, how can that be better for our health and our planet, dear listener, than what these very creatures that God created, and created for that very purpose, in light of the fall itself? For, certainly, those animals serve much better than these people and their pesticides and their chemicals. But I go on. The war on food and farmers, and I read, for decades, Irish farmers were pushed into expensive industrial and chemical farming and herd expansion. And now, with many in debt or with a second job to pay loans, they are being penalized and blamed for the ecological damage caused. Basically, again, reference to damage to overall environment. Many are barely surviving. Will they be forced to sell if their farms become non-viable? Non-viable Dutch farms are to be taken by compulsory purchase order, CPO. Irish farms will be ripe pickings for the multinationals. This will mean big industrial farms are not using land for food so that people will have to buy lab-made meat, milk, eggs, and factory-grown food. Bill Gates, where have you heard that name before? Bill Gates, well, Yahoo maniac. Bill Gates, while building factories to make lab-made meat, eggs, milk, has bought a quarter of a million acres, the biggest U.S. farmland owner. I know Dave Hodges points that out a lot about how Bill Gates and the Chinese have purchased so much of the farmland back in the United States of America. Continuing on, the Irish government, instead of standing by farmers, are pushing the agenda of multinational corporations, all of whom use their fake green agenda for profit. This is clear because our government continually ignores creative ecological solutions offered by scientists and farmers. And I would also remind you, dear listener, that after the whole COVID-19 thing came about, okay, and I've mentioned before here in the Word of the King how I got evidence on my own phone that shows how that was, no doubt, predetermined. It was a predetermined thing. They had already planned. But when that COVID-19 thing went down, you ever take notice and keep in mind how so many of the small businesses had to shut down, but yet the bigger corporations were able to keep operating. Well, this is one more reason why the bigger corporations were able to keep operating, because the bigger corporations are part of the big agenda, the so-called green agenda. But I continue on. Food production is our most vital use of land. Land regeneration, creative farming, and small biodiverse farms are the way forward. This is not being facilitated, and those who go down that road face a ton of red tape. What will the war on farmers and food mean for Irish people? Well, let me just interject again, dear listener, and let you know that according to the Word of God, as surely as the Word of God, you can rest assured it's true. I'll tell you what it's going to mean for the whole world eventually. We just read it in Revelation. Chapter 6, verse 8. And ultimately, I would also let you know that throughout the last 2,000 years, I mean, even since John wrote this, when he was on the Isle of Patmos under inspiration, death and hell have been going forth and have been doing these things, but it's going to get even more intense just before the Lord returns. Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, the pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill, to sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And I continue reading again from this document. What will the war on farmers and food mean for Irish people? Our unique rural Irish society and culture built on farming communities will be destroyed, as will the businesses built around them. Don't forget to apply that to your own country, dear listener, with your own farmers, wherever you are. Money will feed into global corporations, not the local area. The IFA have warned that a new upcoming land tax could break farmers and are afraid that lands may be acquired by CPO at discounted rates. Nutritionally empty, lower quality, high processed food full of toxins, fertilizers, and pesticides known to cause chronic disease. That's right, known to cause chronic disease. Fertilizers and pesticides all over. Highly processed food, full of toxins. You will eat insects. Well, you've been hearing more and more talk about that from these anti-Christ globalist maniacs lately. You will eat insects, huge insect factories now being built in the UK and the USA. Foreign, lower quality meat, factory farmed or lab-made meat, milk, eggs. This will facilitate the declared intention of having 80% of people controlled in large urban centers by 2030. And surely, as I mentioned that year 2030 there, dear listener, in the context of this document does, don't forget, there's the UN Agenda 2030, United Nations Agenda 2030. This will facilitate the declared intention of having 80% of people controlled in large urban centers by 2030 with food produced in huge industrial chemical farms and factories. This would destroy our country, all in the name of the Green Agenda. And as Dave Hodges, Doug Thornton, and others have pointed out, safe to say, folks, this is exactly how they are going to try to force the average citizen into submission to their wicked Antichrist system and agenda through the withholding of food and controlling and manipulating through the foods themselves. Continuing on here, in the short term, relying on grants payments will help farmers, but in the long term, they will lose their land and the right to farm. Chemical GMO farming is an expensive treadmill and destroys soil health and insect ecology. Ever more pests, damaging all of us. Globalization will increase farmer suicides as it did in India and the USA. In the USA, huge industrial farms are increasingly toxic. Bees will not live in California. Food quality is far inferior to ours, and small farms and farming communities have been decimated. The Irish farming industry has also been decimated, less local food for us. Resist the World Health Organization treaty, which Stephen Donnelly has agreed to sign. This will give the World Health Organization power to decide and enforce Irish agricultural policies in the name of climate health. Cannot emphasize this enough, dear listener. Apply that to your country and your own leaders where you are. This will give the World Health Organization power to decide and enforce Irish agricultural policies in the name of climate health. Resist Constitutional Amendment 39 to delimit the right to private land and houses. They want to even infringe here in Ireland on the right to private land and houses. Oh, but you better apply that to your own country, dear listener, with your own leaders, because it surely is they're determined to do it here in Ireland. You got good reason to believe they're determined to do it where you are. Some of the many anomalies in the green agenda. Farmers can't subtract the carbon they sequester from their carbon total. An amazingly regenerative and ecological plant is being ignored. Methane, counted as cumulative and permanent, is neither. No carbon tax on high-emission private planes, yachts, and data centers. Reducing herds means imported meat, bigger ecological footprint. The media. Okay, here we go. They talk about it here. Dear listener, listen to this. The media, 75% owned by global corporations, hide much of the truth about ecological issues to facilitate globalization, power, and control. Cows benefit the land by producing 50 liters of regenerated saliva a day. Again, cows benefit the land by producing 50 liters of regenerative saliva a day. I'll tell you it again. The cows, they serve you and I much better than these people with their pesticides and their chemicals being sprayed all over the place. Factories for lab-made food and insects have a huge ecological footprint. Solar panels are being put on the 10% of Irish land suitable for grain. Every country should be able to feed itself. Otherwise, we risk famine. And as soon as you experience famine, right back to Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him, whose name was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Got a little more to go here with this document yet. And then, Lord, one, if he's not already with us, Brother John McTernan will be with us here soon. The United Nations, the World Economic Forum, Food and Farmers. The United Nations, UN, and World Economic Forum, WEF, like the World Health Organization, are unelected bodies mostly funded by private corporations. The United Nations and World Economic Forum presented the 2021 UN Food Summit. 600 groups representing thousands of small farmers, 70% boycotted it, saying it only represented corporate interest. The WEF, World Economic Forum, a private exclusive club representing big corporations, are causing most of the world's ecological damage, pretends to offer green solutions, but only offer those that ultimately benefit their members. The WEF Groom Politicians Young Global Leader Program, it's now clear that their policies are being followed in the name of the green agenda, but really in the name of power, profit, and control. They have decided that by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. Oh, has Bill Gates been known for quoting that one, saying that one? You will own nothing and be happy. This new regime will mean total surveillance and control. It's clear that the European Union are on board with this. as they are already introducing digital ID, cashless society, and social credit scores, like they've been doing over in communist China for some time now, where this whole Wuhan 400 thing supposedly started, this COVID-19 thing, yeah. The plan is that we will own nothing and the elite all land and everything else. This is their plan. It cannot succeed if we resist and refuse. And on the back of this, it even has a picture of this protest that took place in the Netherlands. Because these Dutch farmers, praise be to God, God help them, they actually told the government to basically take a hike up there. Because they tried to enforce all this green agenda nonsense on them, and the farmers, for the most part, up there in the Netherlands said, no, we're not going for this garbage. And again, God bless them for taking that stand. But it goes on, and I conclude, what can we do?
John McTernan has been there. I don't know if you guys heard, he's already there.
John, know that I'm just going to be with him shortly, okay, Ruth?
Yeah, I just didn't know he was there. I told you earlier.
Well, okay, well, let me finish this, and I will get back to John. Farmers and people, unite in your neighborhoods and agree to not comply and stand against globalization. Dutch farmers, among the most productive and creative in the world, realizing the new green agenda targets are really about globalization and will destroy farming and food, are resisting strongly and being supported by the people. 100,000 people marched on Amsterdam in August 2022. I don't know about you, dear listener, but I didn't hear anything about that on mainstream media. Not back in the United States, I didn't. That's for sure. Picture of those farmers, too, here. It took place, but again, they didn't tell you anything about that in mainstream media because they're serving the agenda, the green agenda. Farmers, please don't stop producing food. Get independent advice. Regenerated land and small biodiverse farms produce more and better food or ecologically sound and yield a better income and less stress. Farmers, your representative organizations criticize new policies, but don't organize mass resistance, noncompliance. Pressure them to truly represent you by getting help for you in the transition to more ecological farming. Meanwhile, say no to punitive measures, herd calling, and reduction in food production. Irish mainstream media won't tell you anything, so please spread the word. Ditto goes for your media, mainstream media, there, wherever you are, dear listener. They'll not tell you anything, so spread the word. Buy local and Irish food straight from farms and markets if possible. Lobby local politicians and insist that they resist this. Some already do. Resist a controlled society. Choose how you can live cash. Ask why farming, not industry, is held responsible for carbon emissions. Incidentally, Ireland is responsible for only 0.1% of carbon emissions. Research the green agenda. All is not as it seems. Please join. Hold the line in spreading the truth. www.sovereignpeople.ie. United, we the farmers and people are the 99%. We can save our beautiful country. And again, that's the war on food and farmers. Freedom, truth. Ireland.com. You can check that out. Spirit leads. All right. So, well, Brother John, if you're there.
I'm here, Brother Tim.
Comment at all on what I just got done reading there about the war on food and farmers in light of what the Word of God talks about in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, where it declares, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth." Please comment.
Well, Brother Tim, you were right on. I mean, there'd be very little for me to comment on. I don't know if you said it, but I would add to a little bit what you said about depopulation of the earth. Their plans are out in the open. Big corporations, farming corporations are part of it. They can control the population, but with these big corporations, they can add to whatever poison or bio agent they want into the food. They can freeze people out from getting food if they have control, if they have the overall control of the food system. And that's what they're going for, folks. So their ultimate goal is to kill most of the population of the earth. Tim, you're well aware that their goal is 500 million people. They want to eliminate about 7.5 million people on Earth right now.
Yep.
These are murdering
psychopaths.
Yeah, yeah. They are murdering psychopaths. They are I mean, the, evil isn't enough for them. They are evil beyond evil. But, yes, Tim, food. Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go back to Stalin in 1934 in Russia. The Ukrainians, right where they're fighting right now, right where the war was taking place, the Ukrainians were resisting Stalin. And so what he decided to do was starve them out. So he took all the food that they were producing away and literally starved. Now, the estimates run from a low of 4 million to a high of like 6 or 7 million of how many people died. No one knows how many. But food was a weapon. Stalin used food as a weapon against those that were not submitting to his communist rule. So if you picture the United States, and I heard you talking about Ireland. Now, Tim, I didn't know what you were, the details about Ireland that you were sharing. I was following what was going on in Holland. But they're trying to eliminate food, food production, which is unbelievable. But, yes, that's what they're doing. Then they want to make all the food producers a big corporation. So instead of having 1,000 farmers, they'll have one corporation or more. You know, 10, they'll just bring it under one control. And then, like I just said earlier, once it's under control of a corporation, then they can do whatever they want. They can force or not force, but add additives to the food that's detrimental to us. And I'm not making this up. I'm going by what they're saying. They're saying they want to add for the in like a COVID-19 vaccination into the food. They want to expose our food system to all sorts of genetic manipulation that we would then eat. So Tim, it's pretty clear there's a goal for what they want to do, and the goal is two functions here. One is to control the population, that they must do what they tell them. And then while they're doing that, they want to depopulate the earth. And that is from their own writings. Yeah, Tim.
Okay. Okay. Kenny, if you would go ahead and play the next clip where he gets into the whole thing about social justice and everything, and justice. Now, social justice is actually injustice. And after Kate plays this clip, John, this would be a good time to get into Romans 13 and have you comment a little bit on another individual that I know you're well aware of by the name of George Soros that I've mentioned a time or two here on the program.
Is this that one about Jesus's blah, 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 Tim?
No, that's Jesus' testimony for later. It was the one before. It was the one that I gave you to play before the one where it gets into the Pope and his
okay,
devil.
I know which one you're talking about. Hold on, I have to queue it up.
While he's queuing that up, though, John, I figure this would be a good point to get into Romans 13 after this, because anybody who's watching, John, as I said earlier, as you may have heard, it's kind of hard not to see it. They're not doing everything they can to start a race war. And wherever they're trying to start a race war, you know George Soros is doing his dirty work.
Absolutely. Anything, any way that they can cause destruction, begin to depopulate, to begin to cause chaos in the world with their plan to take over. Again, everything we're saying is George Soros and Klaus Schwab and Gates and all those that are in the New World Order, they have been broadcasting it, not holding back anymore, folks. What was called a conspiracy, you know, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, is now right out in front of us. And the people are been lulled to sleep, Tim, on this.
Yes, yes. Yep. You just about ready, Kenny?
Okay, you're talking about the one about Pope Francis?
No, the one before that.
Okay, stand by.
I mean, John, I don't know what the Democrat would try to say about this guy with all their liking to throw the racist card around, because this is a black guy speaking here saying all this.
Okay.
But yeah, the Word of God makes it very clear. Brother John here himself is a former federal agent here before too long. Comment on Romans.
Okay, here we go, Tim.
Okay.
What do you think happens to our soul after we die?
It becomes something else.
Yeah. And how did you come to that conclusion?
I did a lot of LSD.
If I gave you a New Testament in Hebrew or English, would you read it?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah?
Why not?
As our Messiah, Yeshua, in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, God bless you. Good breath. What do you think happens after we die?
We become part of everything, and I feel like we're getting in a different kind of body or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, maybe a plant or the ocean.
Or like a juke?
Maybe, possible, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get stepped on?
I guess so, man. Might be, yeah.
And who decides?
Our particles become something else, you know?
Okay. And who makes that decision? Where we go?
No one, nature.
How did you come to that conclusion?
After a lot of research.
Really?
Yeah.
That, like, nature decides where nature goes?
Yeah, no one decides. It's just part of everything, you know? It's like there is no decision. It's just the flow of life, you know? After a flower dies,
yeah,
the particles leave the flower, and yeah, it becomes something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Physically.
Yeah, physically. Yeah.
Right. But what about spiritually?
What
like for the human being, what do you think happens to our soul after we die?
It becomes something else.
Yeah. And how did you come to that conclusion?
I did a lot of LSD.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So from our perspective,
yeah,
from our faith, like Yeshua, Jesus, was a Jewish. Right?
Okay.
And the Bible was written by Jewish people here in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel that our faith is not something that's not too far away from the Jewish people. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that by putting our faith in Yeshua,
sure,
that was prophesied in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh,
sure,
that we can have a reconnection with God, forgiveness of sins, and live eternally with no pain and no suffering. And we have that assurance because it's written in the Word of God. But we also have personal experiences that showed us that by putting our faith in Yeshua, he changed us completely.
Okay.
Complete change our life. Like, Elisha, behind the camera, was a male prostitute on the streets, addicted to drugs.
No.
I was depressed and anxious and suicidal. And he completely took us out of this and changed us completely. And so we said, what happened to us? This was something that we weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Let's go study. Let's go read the Tanakh and the Beit HaChadashah. Let's go see what it means. So by reading through, we found our experience happened in the scripture. And so by living out our faith, we're telling people about something that they can also experience. And they can have assurance that they can have, do you love life?
Of course, yeah.
You don't want to lose it? Are
No.
you afraid of death?
No.
Not afraid of death?
I had anxious about it.
Yeah.
Until I was 21, 22.
Uh-huh.
But I somehow, by meditating, I got rid of that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think that if you went to the doctor right now and he said that you have cancer and you have 6 months to live, that you still wouldn't be afraid?
I guess it will bother my mind a bit more.
It changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you're faced with death.
Mm-hmm.
Not faced with this beautiful ocean and the scenery here.
Yeah.
But when you're faced with death, because you don't have children?
Not yet.
So I have three boys. And when the more people that you have in your life that you take care of,
mm-hmm,
and that you love,
yeah,
you think about it more because you don't want to lose them.
It's true, yeah. The attachment.
Yeah, the attachment. And I think the attachment, I used to think attachment was bad because it brings suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But the attachment is necessary in order to have these relationships.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
That we don't live our life like, I am alone, and I don't need anybody, I can survive on my own with nothing.
No.
You know, I'm fine without God and without relationships. But
I guess it's about balancing the attachment and the non-attachment, you know?
Yeah. It's difficult to do, though.
Yeah.
Especially when you love people so much.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So do you think that you can know for sure what's going to happen to you after you die?
I guess so, yes.
It's possible to know?
Yeah, just by letting go of the mind, you know?
You mentioned something in the big... Well, sometimes if you let go of the mind, you can lose your mind.
Yeah.
You can go crazy.
Yeah, what do you mean by crazy?
Well, the Bible says that belief, faith in God, or the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that faith in God and faith in Yeshua brings a sound mind, a clear mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like for us, before we came to faith in Yeshua, we were all over the place. I want to do this. I believe in this. I was meditating for 20 years.
Wow.
20 years. And I was thinking positive thoughts, you know, affirmations for 20 years.
Wow.
And I ended up depressed.
Right.
And I ended up, because I realized that my reality and my philosophy
doesn't match.
They weren't lining up.
Mm.
It did when I was in my 20s because I was single and having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is great. It's working.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I started to have a business and children, marriage, and I was a father and a husband, I started realizing that, wait a second, I have responsibility now.
Yeah.
And I have pressure. And I have pain and suffering. And how am I going to deal with this? And my philosophy wasn't giving me the answers. Just think positive or just meditate. It was making me separated from my family.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I realized this isn't supposed to be happening. I'm supposed to be becoming enlightened by now.
Mm.
20 years. I'm sitting and meditating and clearing my mind. And I really was very disciplined. And then I realized something's missing. And that what that was is a realization that I really don't know what I'm doing. I think I do, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the Bible led you to the place where you know...
Actually, it was the opposite. When I came to my lowest place, I started having experiences that were related to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't expecting it. As a Jewish man, why am I going to expect this? Right? I started having experiences related to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, this is strange. Here he is in a book, and someone's talking to me about him. I turn on the TV, and there he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, I start crying. And I said, what's happening to me? Something is changing in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to feel like I was coming back to life. But la muerte es mi, in spite of myself.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'm negative. I'm not meditating anymore. I hate life. But yet, something's coming up, and I'm coming back to life. And so Jesus was the only thing that changed in my life. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to now start looking into him and studying about what's happening to me. And I realized that through scripture, I found out what happened to me. That by putting my faith in Yeshua, when he revealed himself to me, that he gave me his spirit, a new heart, new desires, and a new mind. A mind that seeks for righteousness and goodness, and a heart that wants to do the right thing, based on his rules, not my own rules. And by doing this, it completely changed me. But then what I realized is that I also get the gift of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. The gift. So there's nothing I can do to become reconnected with God. It's only him coming down and becoming man and dying for me, which is the ultimate act of love. And by me putting my faith in him and realizing that he rose from the dead, that I can receive that gift. And then I have the desire to do right and good in the world. And so by living out my faith, it tells me to go out and share this news with everybody that I meet.
Wow.
Which is why we come out here and do what we do, because we want you, what's your name?
Liav.
Liav.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff.
Nice
Jeff.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And I appreciate you spending time with me here.
Sure, yeah.
So that by sharing this news, people can think, maybe there is something to it, and I can look into it and see for myself. Because we're always told what to believe.
Mm-hmm. From school, from
our parents, from the rabbis, and from, you know, from the government. We're always told what to believe.
Yeah.
And we usually accept it or reject it. And our reasons for accepting or rejecting are not usually based on they're based on past experiences, and they're based on how we feel at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And so our my job and my desire is to simply just share the good news.
Yeah,
if I gave you a New Testament in Hebrew or English, would you read it?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah?
Why not?
Excellent. What would you prefer?
In Hebrew.
Hebrew?
Yeah.
It's amazing because you can, here, hold this. Some people think, oh, it's a Christian book, it's not for the Jewish people, but it's extremely Jewish. This book was written by Jewish people here in Israel, and it's about the Jewish Messiah. And the first sentence of the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament, you can read it. Sefer Yochasin shel Yeshua HaMashiach ben David ben Avraham. It doesn't get any more Jewish than that. And we know that if we look in the Tanakh, we realize that the Mashiach had to come from the line of David. And so this is the first indication that Yeshua is who he said he was. The Jewish Messiah come to save the Jewish people first and then the whole world. So I pray that this book stirs your heart.
Yeah, sure.
And that you seek for answers.
And
if you have questions, you can reach out.
Shabbat.
Yeah, God bless you.
Yeah.
Can I pray for you?
Sure, yeah. Liav.
God, I pray for Liav. I thank you for his open heart and his beautiful smile. Thank you for his warmth and courtesy here in our conversation. I pray that your spirit fills him with knowledge and truth and wisdom, and that he comes to recognize you as our Messiah, Yeshua. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Hey, God bless you. Good day.
It is written, 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 9. Now through 13, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Go over here to Brother John. I just want to read, dear listener, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt receive. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to be for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And I would just interject real quickly, dear listener, that even as love is the fulfilling of the law, that's why God, who is love, had to come down and fulfill the law on your behalf and mine, even as we all sin come short of his glory, who is love. Verse 11, down through the end of the chapter here in Romans 13, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Plenty is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, you just heard the testimony of a man who was testifying of Jesus as Messiah, even as he believed on Jesus, the Messiah, to this other Jew. And there's this Jew by the name of George Soros, and other than the fact that he's a very materially, earthly, rich man in the worldly sense of the term, and he's a 33rd degree Freemason, and he's a big troublemaker, wicked worker of iniquity. I don't know much else about the guy, but I'm sure Brother John McTernan can certainly tell you, because again, wherever they're trying to start race wars, you can rest assured he is doing his dirty work with his filthy lucre, his filthy money. that he covets and that he worships above the God of heaven and earth. But now, keep in mind now, as John comments on this, you're listening to a man who himself is a former federal agent, okay? Former federal agent. So the last thing he would want to do as a former federal agent is downplay government and downplay law where it is to be upheld. But now, Brother John, if you would please do our listeners a favor, and please explain to them, Teen, as I just read it and as it's written in the pure word of the living God, how it is not in any way, shape, or form promoting blind submission to merely any form of government.
How much time do we have left, Brother Tim?
For the program as a whole, we have almost an hour.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, no problem. When you look at Romans chapter 13, let me read it and comment on it as we read it. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we can look in, go back to Genesis, and when Noah came through the flood, God ordained government. God ordained government. And so the power, when it talks here about they are ordained of God, the governments that are here on earth are ordained by God. Now, I'm going to quickly say that nations get governments that they deserve according to God's word. So a nation like that is turned from God in rebellion, it says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Conversely, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So we see all these, we may look at tyrannical governments, and that is a reflection on the people and what their attitude is towards God. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive unto them damnation. All right, so God is saying here in the word that we are to the government is from God, and we're not to resist it. Now, hang on here as I go on. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Now, when it says good works there, that's according to God's word. You take a perverted, upside-down government like Nazi Germany, they're good. Was killing handicapped kids, killing anybody that was politically against them, trying to purify the world of Jews, exterminating Jews, not only them, but also they were after gypsies and they were after Slavic people. And that is not good works. The good works that the Bible talks about is according to God's word. For rulers are not terror to good works, but to the evil. And there it is. Evil, Brother Tim, is defined in God's word. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So we're to follow government as they're doing good. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. If thou do which is evil, be afraid. See, if you do which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Evil. And Brother Tim, it goes right back to how do you define good and evil? I mean, evil is something in one society, and it's different in another. And the standard for good and evil is the word of God. So law enforcement is to destroy the evil, to defend us from evil as it is defined by the word of God, Tim. That's how we follow the government, as they follow God's word in defining what is good and evil. Does that answer the question, Tim?
Oh, yes. answers the question more. Not that I already didn't know the answer, because if you did not catch what he was just saying to your listener, if you're going to take these verses to imply that you're always just supposed to submit blindly to any old government and whatever they tell you, you're going to have to constantly redefine good and evil based on what that government
exactly,
defines as good
Tim.
And evil.
Exactly. You yes. nailed it. Exactly.
Yep. I caught that, John. And I trust you caught it too, dear listener. But I'll tell you one thing I'd like to point out too, John, in this matter, in this text here. I'd like to point out how it says here about verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is, and then though it's italicized, still God ordained those King James translators to put that in there for a reason. Is due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. But again, only to those to whom it is due. And dear listener, who do you think such tribute, such custom, such fear, such honor is due? It's those who uphold the righteous standard of God's law in government.
And Tim, let me put in my own little addition here. I'll just give an example. For example, you don't want to follow the government where the government says it's okay to, as we were pointing out at the very first clip, aborting babies, where they say it's okay to abort a baby, and God's word says no. So that's something that's evil. So that's a prime example of what we're talking about.
Yes.
You need to stand on God's word. So that's what we're talking about here, where God's word says one thing and the Bible says another. God's word takes precedence.
Let me add something to here. I'll go to one section of Scripture that defines what evil is or explains what evil is. And it's not limited to this scripture, but there's a good amount here. We go to 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. There you go. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane and murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, I mean, there's a partial list, but that's what the law was designed for. That's how we obey the government and all. It's not made for someone that's promoting the guy. We are not to submit to a government that says you cannot proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't. We can't support the government when it says abortion is legal, homosexual marriage is equivalent to God's ordained marriage between a man and a woman. All of those things that are contrary to God's word, we have to refuse. No matter what the government says, we refuse it.
Amen. Now, before Kenny plays the next clip, Brother John, should we get that ready while Kenny to go? If you would, Brother John, tell our listeners about the Jew, George Soros, and how he plays a hand in all this madness that we see going on in the world, especially back in the United States of America, where you currently are. And again, if you'd be in prayer, we're going to be flying out to Israel, Lord willing, here on Thursday. Tell them about the Jew, George Soros, that 33rd degree Freemason, and how he's involved in all this madness with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, them trying to start yet another race war back there in the United States.
Well, he is an extremely evil man. His background is worth noting. His father, he's from Hungary, and his father, well, he's Jewish, and his father was a collaborator with the Nazis, and they would go around Hungary stealing all the wealth of the Jews, and he would go with his father. He was a youngster. He was about, I think, 11 years old. But he would go around with his father helping to steal all the wealth of the Jews, and that's where he – and for his service, the Nazis didn't kill him. I mean, isn't that incredible? right there in the foundation. What a mess this is, Brother Tim. So then he got into...
You said it.
Yeah, Tim? Yeah.
Yeah, I just said it. You said it. It's a mess.
Yeah, then he got into stock trading, but he went beyond stock trading into currency. And I am not an economist, so I can only tell you what happened. I can't tell you how he did it. But what he did was he manipulated stocks, and he manipulated the pound in Great Britain, and I think almost collapsed it. And he makes a fortune in doing it. It was called the Asian Contagion, where he was manipulating stocks in like Vietnam and Cambodia and Burma and those countries, and he almost collapsed the entire economy of these countries. And again, I don't know how he gets so much money from it. But anyways, he did. He made a fortune on trading currencies. And in France, he was convicted of illegal stock trading. And from what I understand, Tim, in Russia, they've got a standing order to arrest him. If he ever comes into Russia, he's being arrested for his stock dealings and illegal trading of currency. So that's his background. Now, he, whatever is for God, he's against. So what he did was, I'm going to say about 10 years ago, Tim, he started, and he would put a lot of money into really, really corrupt people to run for Secretary of State in various states, attorney generals, and I guess governors to some extent. He would pay, put a lot of money in to run mayors. The mayor of Chicago and mayors of other city are all owned by George Soros. I remember the woman there that's the district attorney in St. Louis. She's a 100% Soros. She just got fired. So they begin to put people in key positions, and what the chaos we see now in American cities in particular, where the crime is, out of control, poverty, we're looking at the homeless. Brother Tim, I just saw yesterday in California, there is a line of like RVs and type of vehicles like that, 2 miles long in California along a lake, where all people that are homeless, they've got these RVs and they're living in them. 2 miles long, Tim. They've come out of San Francisco in that area. I guess they've been driven out and they're congregating now in certain areas. But I watched it. I watched a video of it was 2 miles long, and I don't know, tens and dozens of these vehicles. That's all coming from people like Soros, strategically destroying the U.S. economy and destroying the cities. And they're doing it through Soros people in government, making zoning decisions and other decisions that are destroying cities, not enforcing the law. When Antifa and Black Lives Matter went in and burnt Seattle down and Portland down, and really it went through many of the cities in the United States, well, they didn't enforce the law. Crime is incredibly rampant, and they are literally killing the cities in America, and it's by design, folks. Soros is the one providing the money. And he's so far, he's been very successful at it. But cities are dying. And the ultimate goal, Brother Tim, is for chaos in the cities and then for the communist agenda to be applied on them.
That's right.
In other words, they'll destabilize a city. Then they'll come in with, in effect, martial law and communism. That's their goal. And take these cities and bring them under communism where you can never get out of it. That's their goal.
And in case you don't already know what's going on there, dear listener, when people like George Soros are purchasing a bunch of RVs for these people to live in like that, it's called, we're going to spoil you so we can take absolute control of you and take all the more pleasure as we watch you die. Is that not right, brother?
Yes. Yeah, they are diabolically evil. They really are, folks. They are murdering psychopaths and diabolically evil. And the problem with the American people now, there's many more people awake now than there was before COVID, but we just can't believe that our government is so evil and the medical profession is so evil and that the stock market and the banks are rigged. They're rigged, folks, the stock market in particular. We just can't believe it, but it's true. It's true. What we're seeing now in the stock market and in the banks, they wrote about it years ago that at the right time they were going to collapse it. And their goal right now, Brother Tim, is to take all the banks out there. I don't know how many banks there are in America, but all the smaller banks are going to fail, and they're going to consolidate them into like six regional banks, and that's it. So America will have six banks, and at the same time, I don't know if it's even six, it may be one bank. And at the same time, right as I speak, in Europe, they're unleashing digital currency, and in the United States, it will be in July. They're bringing digital currencies. So you're going to have one or two or three small amounts of national banks that are all with digital currency, all tied into the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. So the day is coming real soon that you won't be able to buy or sell without the federal government knowing about it and authorizing. It's right on top of us, Tim. This is not 10 years away. It's not 20 years away or 5 years away. It is on top of us as I speak right now.
Now, from what I hear, they're not going to fully implement digital. They're just going to go partially digital, and they're still going to maintain cash for a little bit. Is that correct?
Well, their goal is to be completely digital. So they'll soften it at first.
I know.
To get the people to go along with it. And once they go along with it, six months down the road, a year down the road, the hammer will come down and everything is digital under the control. There won't be any banks, really, Tim. All you'll have is these Federal Reserve, it'll be a Federal Reserve Bank, really, over the people. Independent banks, like we know now, they won't exist.
Now, let me ask you this, Brother John. In Matthew 24, where Jesus talked about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom, do you believe that we're going to see a season of resistance overall against the implementation of the New World Order? In some ways, I think you're already seeing it in some ways.
Well, Matthew 24 there is very interesting. When you see that nation against nation, the Greek word in that is ethnos, and what it is groups. So you're going to have a very, very fragmented world, and they're going to turn against each other. So you could have black against white, you know, you could have Ukrainian against Russia, you could have Chinese against Japanese. It's a little bit beyond nations. It's more ethnic groups against each other. And so what we're looking now is within countries, ethnic groups are splitting. You'll see it in Africa. You'll see it in Asia. So that's where we're heading. We'll be fragmenting of nations fighting each other.
Okay, Okay, Kenny, would you go ahead and play our next clip, please, before we have Brother John continue, and we'll conclude here before too long. But go ahead and play our next clip.
This is the one about the Pope you want, right?
No, I wanted you to play another one, but just go ahead and play that one. I wanted you to play that other one that I had given you, too. Again, where he was talking about the social justice.
Tim, I'm not sure where that is, so...
Francis is on the news again. This time, he denies that hell exists and promotes social justice, which should give every Christian and freedom-loving American a really good reason to be concerned, and we'll address that shortly. This comment distinctly captures who the Pope is. Asking the Pope for the truth is like asking for salvation. It cannot be done. Indeed, the Pope is the last person to seek truth from. In an interview to mark his 10-year anniversary as Pontiff, Pope Francis appeared to deny the existence of hell, saying that it is not a place, but instead, quote, simply a state of the heart and a posture towards life. Hell is not a place, he said. If one goes to attend the Last Judgment and sees the faces of those who go to hell, one gets scared. If you read Dante's Inferno, you get scared. But these are media representations. Hell is a state. It is a state of the heart, he said, of the soul, of posture towards life, towards God, towards the family, towards everything. There are people who live in hell because they seek it. There are others who do not, suffer it. And who goes to hell? That hell to that state, they are already living from here. If you ask me how many people are in hell, I answer you with a famous sculpture, the Cathedral of Vezelay, he said. Pope Francis clearly does not know his Bible. According to the Bible, hell is a place where sinners will be punished. As unsettling as it may sound, those who die without Christ will not spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. This is more why you should ask Jesus to save you today if you are not born again. Nothing this world can offer would surpass the joy of spending eternity with Jesus in heaven. When you hear Pope Francis speak, you can clearly see that he's a champion of ecumenism. He believes that everybody is a God's child whether they believe in a false God or not. And for that reason, God will not send any of his children to hell. Interestingly, this is not Pope Francis's first claim that hell does not exist. As you might expect, the Vatican denied it after Pope Francis received many criticisms.
You know, man, it's like even what's going on with the Pope just recently said there's no hell. Everybody went crazy.
Like, what? What did he just say?
The Pope said there's no hell. He's slowly bracing you for the fact that all this is nonsense. But right now, we're going to get rid of hell. Like, this is, like, one of the purest examples of, like, the change in people's attitude towards religion.
Is this real?
Yep.
The Vatican denies that.
But
yeah.
The Vatican did not say there is no hell. We'll find out an article where it says he did say that.
He's not going to
go back. Go back in time and find an article where he did say it. I guarantee you he did say it. Let's just assume one day that, see, this is what they do. They say it a little bit, and then they take it back. So they get used to the idea that they're saying it. That's what it is. Dude, this is how they set it up. They start out with, they tell you hell's not real, and then they say, we never said that, and then a year from now they say, look, we're pretty sure hell's not real.
As much as Joe Rogan is as lost as Pope Francis, he was right here. We pray Joe surrenders his life to Jesus Christ. It was barely 4 years ago Pope Francis said hell didn't exist, and the Vatican denied it, but he just shared a similar sentiment about hell.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. We can build a new social contract. In short, we need a great reset.
Recently, Jordan Peterson stirred the water when he called out Pope Francis for his tweet. Hashtag social justice demands that we fight against the causes of poverty, inequality, and the lack of labor, land, and lodging, against those who deny social and labor rights, and against the culture that leads to taking away the dignity of others. Jordan Peterson responded to the Pope's tweet. There is nothing Christian about hashtag social justice. Redemptive salvation is a matter of the individual soul. Other Twitter users were quick to disagree with Pope Francis. Is there really anything wrong with promoting social justice?
Nobel Prize winning economist Friedrich Hayek once said,
I have come to feel strongly that the greatest service I can still render to my fellow men would be that I could make the speakers and writers among them thoroughly ashamed ever again to employ the term social justice. And I could not agree more with that sentiment. I think it's a term that we need to avoid to any and every degree that we can. And I think it's a term that we don't get. But we need to understand that the term social justice, the concept of social justice, is a concept that has a very specific and well-defined meaning. What I intend to do is to allow those who have defined this term to do so for themselves. I want us to understand this term and this concept from the perspective of those who have developed it and who have written thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages and articles and books on the topic. And what is the meaning of this matter? It matters because God demands justice. It matters because injustice is sin. And if social justice is truly justice, then anything that does not align with it is sin. And this is why the term is incredibly problematic. And this is why so many of us fall prey to it. Because we know that God demands justice. Amen? But what does social justice mean? Kevin DeYoung wrote, "Social justice is a nebulous term, unassailable to some and arousing suspicion in others." And I understand what he means by that in terms of the way we use the term in you know, common parlance. Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. Social justice, it's a noun, chiefly politics and philosophy. Justice at the level of a society or state as regards the possession of wealth, commodities, opportunities, and privileges. And it says, see, distributive justice. Again, this is not me. This is the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. And it says, social justice is distributive justice. It's distributive justice. And specifically in politics and philosophy, it's justice at the level of a society or a state as regards possession of wealth, commodities, opportunities, and privileges. That's what social justice means. That's not what I say social justice means. That's what the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language says social justice means.
Hopefully, you're beginning to understand why Pope Francis promoting social justice is unbiblical and dangerous.
Population control on a global scale, or that we call freedom of choice or sustainable development.
I find this the chance for this generation. Clear goals, moral basis, good ethics, combining economic prosperity, social justice, and environmental sustainability.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is one of the key promoters of sustainable development. But while many may think that all roads lead to Bill Gates, he is only one man. There is a very smart and cunning geopolitical player that is usually overlooked, bypassed, and undetected as playing a central role in world affairs, especially during the coronavirus world order lockdown. You can only understand how she thinks if you carefully read and comb through her journals. The American economist Jeffrey D. Sachs is the leading advocate on sustainable development, and is also a very strong advocate of Pope Francis I, 2015, encyclical. He is very welcomed in papal circles for his support of Catholic social teaching, and he is an advisor to the current United Nations Secretary General, who paid a visit to Pope Francis I in December 2019. While it may look like a mild-mannered meeting on the surface, the National Catholic Register has questioned the tight relationship between the Holy See and the United Nations. And it documented that the Holy See's communique was similar focuses on peace, United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, climate change, and migration.
Listen to Vadi Bakum expound more on the concept of social justice, and you will realize that social justice is synonymous with the redistribution of wealth.
There's a lot of academic literature that lays out and defines social justice. William Young, Academic Social Science and Social Justice. He writes, while often an amorphous term, social justice has evolved to generally mean state redistribution of advantages and resources to disadvantaged groups to satisfy their rights and social and economic equality. Social justice is state redistribution. That's what social justice means. State redistribution. It is not a heart issue. From a biblical perspective, justice is a heart issue and a law of God issue. Amen? It is a heart issue and a law of God issue. If the law of God says this and you do that, it is unjust. If the law of God says this and your heart goes toward that, it is unjust. Social justice, by definition, is not a heart issue. It's a state issue. And it's about state redistribution to disadvantaged groups. Social justice is not about individuals. It's about groups. It's another very important distinction. It's not about individuals. It's about groups and outcomes for groups. So teaching for diversity and social justice, an analysis of how power, privilege, and oppression impact our experience of our social identities. Let me just run back over that sentence. And again, this is academia. Social justice is an analysis of how power, privilege, and oppression impact our experience of our social identities. Not the reality of our social identities, but the experience of our social identities.
What Pope Francis tweeted may sound harmless at face value, but if you know the history of Catholicism and what happened during the Dark Ages, you have every reason to be alarmed. If you're new to our channel, please subscribe, like, and leave a comment. They help get biblical truth to in darkness. God bless you.
Social justice includes a vision of society in which the distribution of resources is equitable, and all members of a space, community, or institution, or society are physically and psychologically safe and secure. Again, these are academic sources. Here's a warning, a stark warning about social justice. This is from New Discourses, which I recommend to you highly. Social justice, by the way, this is a little bit lengthy, but I think worth it. Social justice is the ultimate Trojan horse term, where it seems to mean one good thing, as most people understand it. Social justice, a more fair and equal society, but actually means something else. That something else is very specific, and most people, if they knew what they were encountering, would be unlikely to accept it. The idea advertised by the phrase social justice doesn't match the ideology and worldview bearing the seemingly identical name. It continues, social justice means something more specific. It means critical social justice. This term critical social justice is not just used by opponents of social justice. They make it clear that they are referring to critical social justice, and they use that terminology because they want to connect their understanding to critical theory and critical race theory and intersectionality. So they use critical social justice in order to be clear that they are referring to social justice as it relates to the literature, to the long-standing academic literature about social justice. This is, in fact, an ideology that very aggressively pursues the social, cultural, institutional, and political installation, and enforcement of a very specific and radical understanding of social justice as derived from various critical theories and their specific analyses of socially constructed dynamics of systems of power. As such, they do not necessarily seek to achieve social justice in the broad sense or the sense that many people would assume of the term. Instead, they seek to empower and enforce their particular worldview that revolves around one narrow and authoritarian interpretation of the concept. You keep on using that term. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Ultimately, this is where our world is headed. The New World Order, where supreme world leaders dictate for people, including where they live, what they own, and how much they can make. It's an interesting time to be alive, but we do not fear because our hope is in Jesus, not the Pope. Pope Francis has often demonstrated that he is more concerned with earthly issues than with the message of Jesus Christ. Despite this, many people continue to defend and adore him. Nothing could be further from the truth. Make no mistakes, Pope Francis is not a Christian, and he's on his way to hell if he does not repent and ask Jesus to save him.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kenny. That was actually the one that I was actually wanting you to... Let me just say this. Pope Francis, liar, liar, your pants are already on fire. Okay, not everybody's a child of God. The Word of God couldn't be more clear on that. That's all I have to say about the Jesuit Pope Francis. Jesus himself declares, it's written, John 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And you jump down to verse 41. Down through verse 47, Jesus says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If ye, God, were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." And again, dear listener, truth, the revelation unto true hope. To have true hope is to know that when you die, absent from the body and present with your Creator, present with the Lord. Jesus goes on, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now, before I give it back over here one more time, Brother John, comment. Did you hear? Were you listening very carefully to that? That one gentleman that was talking about all that justice there in that clip, he was an African black man. I'd like to know if any of you Democrats out there are listening. How are you going to throw the race card at him? How are you going to accuse him, that black African man, of being racist? And Brother John, I'm sure you probably caught it, and I hope you caught it too, dear listener, but Brother John, we were just talking about where Jesus talked about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and you heard what he said about it involving groups, ethnicities, races. Pretty much just heard that right there from that African black man right there in that clip. And even think about what we talked about, what John said, and what a little bit I said about Romans chapter 13. He even confirmed that in that clip as well. But Brother John, please, you got 10 minutes, let's say, to comment.
Well, it's so much of the age we live in is deception. So much of it. So, and this is what the tyrants have done through the years. And I'm going to go back to the Nazis. The Nazis would use, they wanted to exterminate deformed children. So they created an organization for, like Society for the Help of Needy Children. And they come to your house and say, "We're taking your child to this school here, and they're going to get special training and all." But the parents had no choice. I mean, they were taken. Then 6 weeks, 2 months later, they would get a letter, "Sorry, your child developed pneumonia and passed away." the whole, but they would use good words, good thinking thoughts, but it was for evil. And that's what we have here now. We have people that will say, they'll promote totalitarianism, and the communist totalitarianism comes through, like, the economy. So they'll try and force everybody to a certain way in the economy that they will control, that they will control. So that's what we have here with these people now in America. It's like with FAIR, you see, it's not FAIR. Well, you know, I have to say this, Tim. And the ones that are in control are the super rich New World Order. But they're not going to touch the New World Order. They're tools of the New World Order. So they won't go after this distortion where a handful up on top, or every day they're gaining more and more economic power in the United States, or the world. They'll go after things that they can see, and they'll say, like in the communism, a doctor really didn't make much more money than anyone else. And you, everybody was kind of, they want to say everybody's equal. That's not the way it works. God's created us individually. He's created us with different levels of emotional levels, different levels of intellect. And if we do not exercise that, we don't function well, Tim, as a people, the way God created us. So they kill the human spirit, and that's what they're looking to do, Tim, with this nonsense of everybody's got to be equal. Everybody needs an equal opportunity. That's what we need. And what you do with that opportunity is really, you know, your business, but everybody needs an opportunity. And they're not doing that. They're going to say, all right, you're going to get so much money to do this, and you worked hard, you went to college, you saved your money, and you invested in this business and that business. Well, that's not fair, and we're going to take, you know, 90% of your money away from you, and we're going to give it to people on welfare, whatever. That's what they want to do, Tim. That is exactly what they want to do, and it will just destroy anywhere. Like, let's say that they put that in place in a city. Well, anyone that is self-starter, anyone that is has life in them will leave that city. They won't function there. They will not be able to function there. And that's what they want. They want to take the cities over and have the people really just enslaved to them. And they're presenting it through these words that sound real good, maybe sound good. And when you get underneath it and you see who they are and what their agenda is, it's really to completely destroy the United States and the Western economy and bring it under the slavery of, you mentioned early, I believe you mentioned it, you'll own nothing and be happy. They will own everything and you will own nothing. That's where this is heading, Tim.
Yeah, Tim. I know. Yes, I know, John. Yep, I'm aware. That is where it's heading. Now, real quickly, only due to time's sake, I wanted to discuss the whole 501c3 tax exempt status a little bit more. We can do that another time, Lord Boyne. In fact, I actually want to call you later on in the week, Lord Boyne. I have a little bit of an idea I want to throw out to you. I'd like to do a little study with you sometime. But for now, let me just ask this. When it comes to the 501c3 tax exempt status, this is my take on that, and what the whole purpose of that was in relation to the churches, particularly back there in the United States. Just like the enemy has had his way of buying off the politicians, the 501c3 tax exempt status thing, that was the enemy's way of buying off pastors, elders, and their churches. Do you agree?
Yeah, it keeps them under control because the church speaks of issues that the hard left communist woke politicians don't want. So if you speak out and support, if a church speaks out and supports a certain issue or politicians, well, they can lose that tax status. So that has a way of muzzling them. It's fear. It's they've actually used the IRS as fear to control the church or sections of the church.
Yep, right on, right on. Okay, brother, it was a blessing having you again, and Lord willing, I'll be calling you here before too long, maybe before I fly out to Israel.
Okay, all right, then. God bless you. God bless you and all your listeners.
God bless you, John. Thanks for coming on. Kenny, if you would go ahead and play that testimony, Jesus Pro-Life, and then I'll give a little word, and then you can do the invitation song.
Okay, stand by, Tim. I'll get that.
Surgeon came in. He told us that we should leave Sarah, leave our baby in the hospital, and to walk away from her, not to bond with her, don't feed her, just leave her, walk away, and have other children. And to hear that kind of advice from a doctor, from a surgeon, we were in a total daze and shock that our child wouldn't live. I believe my great-grandfather was the first Jewish ostrich farmer in South Africa. My grandfather always wore this special hat. He had also put on the tefillin, the phylacteries around his arm and around his head. He would take me to the synagogue on Shabbat. As a young boy, it's coming up to my bar mitzvah. The rabbi made a speech, and he got up and he said, "Well, it's a shame that Lawrence is not as good at Hebrew as he is at rugby." So I was the sportsman in the family. My brother Alan, on the other hand, was more of the philosopher, the thinker. When my brother came home from an army pass on the weekend, he had this Bible and some literature, and my brother and I shared a bedroom together. So he hid that literature under his bed. I'm not really sure how this happened, but my parents found that Bible. And I was really quite shocked to see their response to my brother's interest. And I'd never seen my dad cry before, but I saw him cry. My brother put it aside and vowed not to think about Jesus again. I met Louise when I was 15 and she was 14. Even at a young age, talking about one day when we got married. And she had agreed that if we ever did get married, that she would convert and become Jewish. It was at that time that Jews in South Africa were wondering about the future. And a lot of Jews decided to go to Australia. I had to consider leaving behind my beautiful girlfriend. And that was extremely traumatic. So I had a little deal with God. God, if you'd bring us back together, if we could see each other again, I would become a good Jew, and that we'll bring up our children to be good Jews. And in that year, things really began to change. My brother, once we had come to Australia, started to think about Jesus once again. He became a very strong believer in Jesus. He had a supernatural encounter with God. His life was completely changed. He was saying things like, "I really love Jesus. Jesus has changed my life." And I thought that was very odd. First of all, because Jesus was a man and he lived 2,000 years ago, and I couldn't understand this love that they shared for one another. Not only that, of course, Jesus was dead, so how could he love Jesus? And it really didn't make any sense to me. And he just said, "Listen, Lawrence, I want to read to you." He started to read about this man who had been rejected by his people, who had come to suffer and die for the sins of others, not his own. And after he had read the scripture to me, I said to him, "Well, that's obviously all about Jesus, and that must be in the New Testament." Well, of course, he was very quick to show me that he had just read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, the prophet who wrote 700 years before Jesus. I was really struck with that prophecy. It was a prophecy that really made me think that there is some truth to what my brother was sharing with me. That made me feel very uncomfortable. I always felt a very strong connection with my Jewish identity, and here I was being confronted with the truth about Jesus being the Messiah. I started to think to myself, really, Jesus could be our Mashiach, our Jewish Messiah. And if he is, well, then I had to, as a Jew, believe in him. And so I came to a point when the opinion of God became more important to me than the opinion of my people. That was very difficult because I was worried about what would my mom and dad think? What would my family think if I went the same way as my brother? But that night, I prayed to accept Yeshua as my Mashiach. That was the day that my life completely changed. I phoned Louise. She's back in South Africa. And I shared with her, I said, look, Louise, I've got something to tell you, that I pray to accept Jesus as my Messiah. And I was totally shocked at her response. She said, so have I. Louise and I never talked about it, so we didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes. And in that first year, as I was coming closer and considering faith in Yeshua as the Messiah, so Louise was back in South Africa. And we were totally amazed how God kind of entered into our lives, revealed the Messiah to us at the very same time. 7 months later, we got married under a chuppah in South Africa. Louise became pregnant, and she had a very normal pregnancy, and eventually Sarah was born. But when Sarah was born, she didn't cry. The doctor had come in to speak to us, and he told us that Sarah was born with no brain, and he said, well, we don't think Sarah will live. She'll probably only live 2 or 3 days, which, of course, those words went right over our heads, and we were totally shocked at what we were hearing. And we knew in our hearts, though, that we couldn't just walk away from Sarah. And so we took her home the very next day, and Sarah was very unwell. Louise, as a beautiful mother, was just praying that God let Sarah live. Let there be a miracle. Let Sarah be healed. I was angry with God in the first couple of years. I had to try and understand, where was God? I knew that Sarah was going to live. And I can't tell you for sure that I was happy about that at first. To my shame, I was really asking God to take her. I didn't really want to go through a difficult time. And God began to use Sarah in the most amazing way in our lives. The doctor had said that Sarah would be a vegetable, that she wouldn't smile. And the first time she smiled at me. And she really melted my heart. And I really had felt like perhaps, you know, like a murderer, that I wanted her to die. I didn't want her to live. And I really repented of that because I knew God had a special purpose for Sarah's life to do something deep within me, to do something in us as a family. Sarah today is 27 years old, and yet Sarah's life has spoken so much to us and to others, even though she herself has never spoken a word. I came to realize, though, that God works through difficult times in our lives in very powerful ways, that he actually speaks to us louder through our suffering than he does through our pleasures. And Sarah's disability has taught us so much about God. It's taught us so much about life. Life is not perfect. There's a lot of challenges. I think there's one thing that is common to all humanity, and that is suffering. And he uses all these things in our lives to speak to us in very profound ways. And that makes God very impressive, the way that he can actually use difficult life circumstances to teach us and to mold us and to make us into, God willing, better human beings.
It is written, Isaiah chapter 52, starting in verse 13 down through Isaiah 53, verse 12. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Yes, this is speaking of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. Verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Arm of the Lord revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Hence, I'm going to interject real quickly, dear listener. John the Baptist, as he pointed to Jesus in his day, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I go on here in the prophet Isaiah 53, verse 8, down through the end of the chapter, verse 12. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now, but interject once more, listener. It is written, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those are verses 9 and 10 of Romans. Chapter 10 and verse 13 of Romans 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And again, the prophet Isaiah 3, verse 9 to 12. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Again, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not Mary, not your priest, not any other so-called saint, but the man Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. Put your faith in him and in him alone. And, Brother Kenny, I would ask you now just to give a quick rundown of how they can contribute to the work here at the Word of the King, here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, Six Eyes Radio. And then just play the invitation song, and we'll conclude with that. And until next time, dear listener, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
All right. First off, if you wish to get a copy of this program or any other here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, first off, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/SIXEYES. Or just go to Google, type in Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES RADIO. If you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to your podcast section to the search box and type in Six Eyes Radio. Or if you have an Android or Apple device, you'll need to first download the iHeartRadio app. Once you do that, go to your iHeartRadio app, then go into the search box, type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES RADIO. And in both cases, once you've typed in Six Eyes Radio and you hit enter, then we'll pop up there. Then just go to your upper right-hand corner where it says subscribe, click that, and you'll have us on demand 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you'll be able to listen to this program any time of the week that you wish and desire. Amen. If you wish to make a donation to the Word of the King, first off, Tim already gave you the check or money order way, but you can also give a donation with credit card or PayPal account by simply going to Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind, B-L-I-N-D, .org. Once you've clicked that, after you've entered it in your browser, click enter, go down to where it says Sow the Seed Ministry, click that, then go down that page to where you see Love Offerings. You'll be on his secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card or PayPal account to make a secure donation. You can also use the same website, HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. Once you've hit
that in your browser, clicked enter, you could go straight down to the bottom of that homepage where you will see love offerings, where you can use your PayPal or credit card to make a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And also you could send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Just send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send any checks or money orders payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send it to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Now, if you wish to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have several options. If you got a PayPal account, just go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. In both cases, you just enter the amount of your love gift, and it is greatly appreciated. If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. In your subject line, just write donation information requested, and in your email, just tell him you're wanting to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information to send that check or money order. And in all cases, the donors, the places that you're sending the money, will richly appreciate your gift and do thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gifts. Amen. All right, and now, finally, for our song to close us out.
God be spent and bought my liberty.